It's Bradley and the Babe on ESPN 1470. A football legend, Scott Bradley.
Bob by Scott Bradley, and he's hurt.
A radio legend, the fabulous Sports Babe. Together for one legendary sports show. Here they are, Tampa Bay, Bradley and the Babe.
All right. ESPN 1470, it is Bradley and the Babe on the Tuesday edition on an absolutely gorgeous day in our old hometown. Stuff to talk about today, a lot of stuff to talk about today as we work our way up to the draft. What was the story? The Bucks supposedly trying to move up in the draft, and of course they'll never tell you the truth over there no matter what. We have things to do for today. Mr. Brantley, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. They said they wanted it done. Jake Long, from what I saw, was $57 million and $30 million guaranteed.
Be done with it. He's an offensive lineman. He's a guy that seems to be a tremendous person, first and foremost, and a pretty darn good football player. And I told you, we were talking yesterday about Jake. And I like what he stands for, the kind of person he is. He is represented by Tom Condon. So they got the deal done. So Chris Long goes to the next spot, or he might be the one that might fall a little ways here.
Well, St. Louis is on the clock now.
Yes, they are. Yes,
and St. Louis, I was under the impression that they had an absolutely awful offensive line, and they were kind of hoping to get in there, but they knew they probably weren't going to. But I guess when you're picking that high up, it doesn't really matter. You're going to end up doing, you know, whoever you get is probably not going to be a bust.
So you don't think it'll go long and long regardless. Now that Jake's already been established at Miami, you think that the Rams will take, you know, Chris Long at number two. That's what a lot of the thinking is. I read some of the things for the ESPN earlier this morning, and then when this thing came down, it said, well, looks like it might just be whichever Long goes first, the next one, whoever's left will go second.
What do you think?
That's pretty amazing.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about this a bit yesterday. I'm trying to think. I think it was something from the NFL or NFL.com or whatever. But I've seen a couple of things now in which Mike Jenkins has fallen to number 20. And people are beginning to wonder, oh, is that a homeboy kind of thing? You know, you want the local guy, all that. I don't think so. You know, somebody asked us that earlier today. I don't think so at all. I mean, he's a good football player. I don't think it's going for a reach like, oh, I've got to go to someone because he's from Florida. I don't think that's
the only thing that worries me, and I've got his number, and I don't know if we'll be able to reach him. I left him a message yesterday. Is Joe Barry, being the defensive coordinator for his father-in-law, Rod Marinelli at Detroit, they pick at 15, and I know that they have talked a lot about Mike Jenkins quite a bit up there. I think they might have even flown him in there. They did Curtis Lofton, too. They flew in Curtis Lofton, the fine linebacker from but I think they were looking at Curtis Moore of not the first pick, but maybe being available in the second round with Detroit. And if that's the case, but then again, you hear all kind of, there's so many rumors that are floating around right now. It's ridiculous.
And I think a lot of them are to smoke screens, as we talked about yesterday. Now we're talking about, by the way, there was a report today that the Skins were ready to give up this number one and a number three, and depending on how Chad would play, it could be this number one and the 09 number one. The Skins were ready to give that for your man, who I don't want to give one thing for, Chad Johnson, and Cincinnati said, no, Cincinnati's not going to be backed into a corner by this clown, as far as I can see at all.
Well,
that's a lot.
I wouldn't want, do you really want a disgruntled player on your football team? I get rid of him. He don't want to be there. I want him out of there. That's my philosophy. If he wants
you're putting yourself in a say. Yeah, you can get rid of him for a third-round draft choice, but you know he's worth a lot more than that. But if everybody
knows
that
you're a third.
I know. That's what you're wanting, but if you're running a team and you know they don't want him, why would you give him a
first?
Isn't
that what the Redskins offered?
The Redskins offered them, and they said no. They said a first and a third, and depending on his incentives and how well he did with the Redskins, and, of course,
could
Cincinnati did, it could turn into a – that three could turn into a one for next year. But they said no, they weren't interested in it at all. Are they going to get rid of him? And, you know, on one side, you're like, he doesn't want to be there. But I think that sometimes on the fan side of things, we kind of say, well, you know, he shouldn't be able to dictate what he can do and where he can go.
That's true. There's a fine line there. I mean, you ought to humble yourself and kill them with kindness and do whatever they tell you to do. They're paying you a good a good, you know, they've already, Cincinnati's already paid him enough money to, that he could live the rest of his life. Does that automatically make you, you know, feel like you're, you can tell, dictate to them what they can do or what I can do with you? I mean, just because you've got the money in the bank, you probably have a smart enough guy to invest it for you and you're going to be set. So does that make you come out of your shell and become the jerk that maybe everybody thinks you are to begin with?
No.
Or does it make you just say, hey, you know, if I'm not happy here, you got to accommodate me to get out of here. And if you don't, then I'm going to, I'll go back to being totally dedicated to the Cincinnati Bengals, which might end up happening for Chad Johnson. Who knows?
And let me ask you, as we're talking more about the draft, a couple of things. The Lightning, have they or have they not been sold? It's like you got to get three banks from the other side of the world to kind of fund this, and the guy that's selling it's got to fund it already. It seems like it's starting out on the wrong foot. The whole thing, it just doesn't seem right to me.
But it's been, kind of circulating for the last, what, 2 or 3 years.
But it's not like they're coming up and saying, all right, our ducks are in a row. They're like, I have to go to France and get this. And if you could help me, even though you're selling me the team, if you could pick up some of that. And I thought, already this doesn't sound very good. Shields goes tonight, Orlando, 3-game set with, Toronto for the boys, and they are 3-0. Over there. Let me go back to, I always like to get.
And Josh Litch goes for the Jays, and he's a boy from right here in, not Palm Harbor, right in Pinellas Park.
I think it's Pinellas Park. I think Roy Holiday, goes tomorrow. Jared Mayo, Tennessee linebacker, doing the interviews, the combine, some of the interviews. One of the things they say to him, when was the last time you cheated on your girlfriend? Not, do you cheat on your girlfriend?
Or do you have a girlfriend?
It is, when is the last time you cheated? Do they have the right to ask that? Do you have to answer that? And what's next? What's next after that? What do you think about that? I mean, if somebody said that to you in this day and age, and maybe in 1980 when you were drafted, you would have said, no, I don't. And that, which is what he said, is I don't cheat on my girlfriend. But you probably would have answered that. In the same respect, in this day and age, I think a lot of people would say, hey, it's none of your business.
That's,
and I think they
business.
Would just be there. But where does it, how much, you know, how much more intense, how much more personal does it get?
I don't know. I mean, and then those, and everybody's different. Everybody's got their own philosophy. Everybody has their own criteria, I guess. Or, I mean, what do they do? Sit around at their own camp at, over at one Buccaneer Palace or wherever Detroit, you know, trains, or, I mean, anywhere, St. Louis, I mean, down in Houston. I mean, they sit around and they kind of come up, they got to conjure up the right kind of questions to ask these players. And what are you doing? Are you having a psychologist evaluate these questions and what they mean?
Well, yeah, they probably are.
Yeah.
They probably are, but where does it go? I mean, do you, you know, what's next? What kind of condoms do you use? I mean, is that the next question? What about if they say, do you want a gun? Is that really any of their business if you do or not?
This is America, and I own about 12 guns. That's what I'd tell them.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't own any, but I agree with what you're saying to some. I mean, I think there's got to be some regulation in all that, but
right.
I think that we do have the right in our country to have them. So I'm not going to be all over. I just,
right.
You know, sometimes they get completely out of control, and that's a big problem. And, you know, we have that cowboy kind of mentality around the world that people think of the kind of guns that we have here and the way that they're used, but in the same respect, it's part of our Constitution.
Yeah, part of our heritage, as you say. So, but
you know, when they say, do you own a gun? Well, if you're a, you know, a linebacker that's being interviewed and you said, yes, I live in America and I own 12 of them, is that going to turn them off to you? And what right do they have to ask these kind of questions? And what about, do you cheat on your girlfriend? Could you just get a grip?
No, I did not hear that one, so it's kind of... Yeah, but Mayo was the one that said
Jared
that,
Mayo.
You know, and different types of questions that they will come up with. So it's kind of, it's interesting. I mean, but it's such a crapshoot, and everybody's playing liar's poker, and everybody's playing, you know, smokescreen here, smokescreen there. But that's what this thing has turned into. It's like 24/7 right now on one channel on the NFL Network. That's all they're talking about obviously, because that's all they need to talk about right now. ESPN's covering it. You know, top to bottom, day and night. But it's just something that intrigues people, and see how everything goes and how everything shakes out. But But I like hearing the stories. I mean, not the guys. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to talk to Jake Long right now to see what he's thinking. But
I'm thinking I got $57.5 million. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, really. But all these other guys, how it's going to fall, you know, the Glenn Dorseys. And, you know, it's good to talk to some of those guys if you can. But then there's a lot of guys that's going to get drafted that a lot of people don't know of and, you know, that might have signed with an agent that has a special skill. And I know we will talk to Richard Katz, who I work with, and we had 11 players down here in North Tampa at the Sports and Field complex at Wesley Chapel at Seven Oaks. But KMG Sports is Richard Katz's company, and he will hire out different people to speed coach. He had Joe Guernty and John Jackson down here and working with these kids on a daily basis and getting them ready. And maybe even ask them about and get them ready for the interview process, not just the how high you can jump or how fast you can run or how quickly you can go over the dummies. You know, it's there's a lot of the other things and film study and knowing what to do, because they will bring you into a room and they will show you different things. And how do you interpret this? And what do you call this? You know, and that's part of the interview process.
What do you call what? I mean, something football related or an ink blot?
Yeah, and terminology. Your terminology. What do you see? You know, stop action. What are you looking at in this situation?
All right.
If you're a linebacker.
I didn't know it was an ink blot. All right, the footwork on this one and how he's pushing off. All right, I understand that. But I just, you know, I thought, oh, no, they're not going to throw ink blots up on the TV and say, what do you see there? Anything like that. I think I would be
just
getting over that.
Yeah.
It's Brantley and the Babe on ESPN 1470. A little reminder, we're kicking off their big Tampa Bay tour that we have Thursday. We're going to be at Rockin' Sports Bar and Grill on 8th Avenue in Centro Ybor. That's going to be happening. We're going to be doing our show live there this Thursday from 3 to 6. They're going to extend happy hour from 3 to 7. Come down and visit with us. We're going to be around and hang out with them. They've got the big party that's going on, all kinds of prizes. They got 30 big old TVs, DirecTV sports packages everywhere. You'll be able to hang out there, and you'll be able to come around and visit with us and come and it'll be good to see people. I think it'll be fun. So come down there. We're there from 3 to 6 this coming Thursday. You will find us. If you would like to join us on the telephone lines, you certainly can. Jake Long, offensive lineman, almost $60 million, 30 guaranteed for that. Phone lines are like this. Let me see. Pinellas is 578-1470. In Hillsboro, it's 849-1470. We are broadcasting live from the Culpeper Curlin Studios, and you can catch us online at ESPN1470.com. And people are doing that, you know. Are you getting some even? People are thinking it's our big Boyer cam, and that's exactly what it is. And you can come in and watch it. If you do see our Boyer cam, here's my lovely present. He went all the way to the Bahamas for a week, and I got this cigar. What is it called? The Toronto?
It was
Toronto, actually, Toronto cigar.
Actually, they were actually made in Tampa, but yet bought in the Bahamas.
It seems kind of stale, Scott, for a girl who knows a little bit about cigars. Seems a little bit. You told me.
Well, you got to put it in your humidor, but you don't have one, I don't guess. So.
No, I told you the last time I got near a cigar, somebody was hand rolling them at a big snooty function, and I had two of them, and I just will never
get a damp
that.
Paper towel and put it in a baggie and keep it in your
fridge.
No, refrigerator.
I would much rather sit right here so everyone can see that you went all the way to the Bahamas, and this is what you found was acceptable as a present for me. The fabulous sports babe, Scott Brantley, ESPN 1470, working our way to the draft. Is today Tuesday?
It is Tuesday.
Could it
day.
Be that tonight is my favorite show, Deadliest Catch on Discovery Tonight? Why, oh why, do I like this silly show? I don't know.
Finally, a home run for Tampa Bay Sports Talk. It's Brantley and the Babe, only on ESPN 1470.
He is Scott Brantley. I am the fabulous sports babe. Stuff on your mind today. Toll free the Galaxy number live from the Culpeper Curlin Studios. 877-777-9426. That's the line. In Pinellas, it's 578-1470. And in Hillsboro, you can use 849-1470. All toll free is the way you can go for that. So and jump on that, and we will talk to you some more about Oh, we've got a guy coming to visit us right now, which boyfriend took the thing away from me, so you can be able to do all of
no,
this.
No, he went
far somewhere. Away. Did he go? I'm telling you, you've got to put a chain on the sport boy around here if you're supposed to know what's going on, because I haven't been able to find it at all. Scotty, you can do that.
Yeah, when Clay Hamlin, who I've been kind of associated with here since I think around February, Clay is one of those kids that it was might have been a little bit of a late bloomer, if you want to call it that, but a guy that came on strong. He's a defensive back and play cornerback and play safety, can return kicks, and I think that's the same. That's one of those key things that you got to have, a little extra to have, and working with Clay Hamlin. He came out of Georgetown College.
Where is Georgetown College? Clay Hamlin, how are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
I'm good. Scott and the Bay. Clay, where's Georgetown? I mean, I know where Georgetown University. I'm sorry, I don't. Tell me about Georgetown College. Where is it?
It's in Kentucky. It's about 15 minutes north of Lexington, Kentucky.
All right. I got my boundaries now, Clay. How are you? It's getting closer. What's it like for you right now? You know, everybody's going to be picking in the draft and all of that. You're wandering back and forth. What's it like for you 3 or 4 days before?
Well, you know, it's been a long wait from training down in Tampa, you know, to training up here and just waiting for everything to happen. And just a waiting game, and I'm kind of anxious to get this show on the road and figure out where I'm going to be and everything. And it's exciting, though. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, the sad part of it is, Clay, is that when they had your, I don't know which college you went to, when they had the pro day, and evidently you didn't get it warmed up enough and ended up pulling a hamstring.
Ow.
And this is the kind of things that can happen that can even prolong it that much further, push you that much further back. And I'm sure right now is what they're telling you, even though you'd be getting contacted, they're kind of saying, well, we're going to have to see it on tape, or they can't just go by what you've done in the past, can they?
Right. Well, you know, when that happened, I was absolutely devastated. You know, we worked out 8 weeks down there in Tampa, and two times a day, and never had a problem with my hamstring, and my pro day comes along. I did that at Eastern Kentucky, and my first 40, it went on me, and I guess that's just kind of a little bit of an adversity I had to deal with, and it was tough there for a couple days, but I bounced back. I've been working out, and it's feeling good, and like I said, I'm just ready to get this show on the road.
Clay Hamlin is playing defensive back, by the way. He was an AP Little All-American team. He was part of that team, captain for his team in Georgetown College, which is outside of Lexington. Let me just ask you, you talked about pro day. What is pro day like? I mean, what do? They you just, like, say, get out there and run? I mean, what happens at pro day?
Well, it's kind of nerve-wracking. You got all the scouts coming in. You're trying to get warmed up. And for me, I was the only outsider at Eastern. So all the other guys that were there, they were they had all went to school together. You know, they were all talking. I was just kind of off, trying to stay focused, trying to get up, trying to get ready. And it's really more mental, because you're already ready to go through all the drills. You've done it. A lot of times it's just you've repped it out, so now you just got to get yourself mentally ready to go. And it was exciting, it was intense, and unfortunately my pro day was short-lived with a pulled hamstring. So like I said, it was disappointing, but you know, hopefully things will work out best, and I'm looking forward to it.
And you're waiting around one day, 2 days, and even if you don't get your name called, Clay, I like it the way it is. When I was drafted, it was 12 rounds, you know, and from really from about 5 or 6 back, it's kind of a real big crapshoot as far as what you can do, what you can.
But now you'd be taking the 7th and make a team.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be like that. If you were in the 7th, it was unlikely you would make the team.
8 through 12. But what I'm saying, all that group of people from 8 through 12 have that opportunity to really shop it and use your people and your advisors to really make the right choice for you that's more suitable to give you the better opportunity to make that team. So sometimes it's even better not to get drafted.
Right, and, you know, I'm with you on that. You know, hopefully I'll get a few teams that'll have a lot of different options and I can figure out my best fit. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, it works out. You know, it's been a long road to this point. A lot of hard work, a lot of sweat gone into this, and I just, I'm really, you know, it's nerve-wracking, like I said. I just want it to work out so bad, and, but hopefully it does.
Give us an idea where you, when you were being tested, Clay, what were your 40 times, 20 times, 40 times? I think that a lot of that has to do with the shuttle run. How were your times compared to what you were looking at from a national scale?
You know, going in, the train I went through with KMG, you know, it exceeded my expectations, and I was fortunate enough to work out with Joe Gentry, who was an Olympic track coach, and that man really knows his stuff, and by the end of it all, I was feeling really confident in all my times. I was running some good times, and really looking forward to my pro day and trying to impress some people. So I think I was right there, you know, I was right there with my times where they needed to be and everything, and hopefully, you know, it's not going to affect too much not getting able to show my stuff at the pro day, but like I said, I want to see how it all works out in the end.
And we're talking with Clay Hamlin, who is a defensive back that comes from Georgetown College, which is outside of Lexington. Clay has no visions of being a number one draft choice, which is even more interesting to see. Is he going to go in the draft? Is it almost more beneficial for a guy not to if you're not going to be in the top three rounds or so you can kind of pick and choose what's out there and also what you go through when you say to yourself, okay, I'm not Jake Long. Where is it going to end up being? Let me ask you something, though, Clay. When you came, did you learn anything at all from Scott Brantley? I mean, was he just this guy hanging around in a visor all day? Or, you know, you thought, my God, I got to put up with this guy for 2 months.
But, no. Scott knows his stuff. He's a great person. I'm lucky to have got to know him. And, you know, he was able to, show me some pointers of how things will work out. Because, you know, going through this experience is a totally new process. Everybody that's working out for the NFL, as rookies that hadn't been through it, it was good to have somebody like Scott there to talk to me, let me know what he's been through, what he's seen other players go through, and kind of where I stand with everybody else. And
I love that. And that's what I talked to you about is the fact that you're against all odds. I mean,
right,
that's the way you got to look at it. But because of what you can do, and I know what your heart's about. I know where your brain is. I know that your communication. I mean, you can get an education, but this is something you want to do. I called him. I said, you know, I look at Wes Welker. I mean, this kid could become the defensive version of a Wes Welker type of player in the league that went undrafted totally, Wes Welker. But yet he's a great player. That's the way I envision this kid.
Doesn't he have a ring or so?
I think he did. He left Miami. He made the best choice he ever did.
Clay, let me ask you something. You mentioned, I mean, we always use that phrase that you can't coach speed. You either got it or you don't. Yet what did working with Coach Gentry, an Olympic track guy, how did that help you? Because you're going to run from here to here. He did knock, you know, three ticks off the speed for you. So how does that help you?
Well, he just he's so experienced. He knows what he's doing, and he's coached so many athletes. And that's his thing. He'll be the first one to tell you that he's not a football guy. He's a track guy. Mm-hmm. So he knows all the little things to do to help you get that 40 speed down or whatever it is, the quickness down to where you need to be, and you're definitely going to improve working out with him for the amount of time that I did. And he's intense. He cares about the people he works with. Once you get to know him, he's an incredible person, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to stay in touch with him, and it's helped me out so much just being able to work out with him. So.
Well, Clay, I hope that thing gets well. I mean, I know you're still kind of nursing. You're almost back, but you're not back. Draft's coming up this weekend, and all of a sudden they'll sign some free agents along the way. And, you know, I still say Raheem Morris, and I know what he's all about, and he would love your grit and what you're made of. And, heck, it might even work out here in Tampa if you do not get drafted. But I hope you do get drafted. And if you do, we do wish you the best of luck. Like I said, I don't care if you never play a down in this league. We will be friends because, hey, what he loves in his off time with the hunting and fishing, all the aspects of the outdoors, I love. And even though you grew up in Indiana, I grew up in Florida, there's still a lot of crossover there, Clay, that we could get a lot done and have a lot of fun together.
You're speaking my language now.
Clay, where are you going to be on Saturday afternoon? Now, do you have anything planned? Are you going to be with family, friends? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I'll actually probably just be at home with mom and dad and just see what happens from there. I know they're looking forward to it just as much as I am.
And they're looking forward for you to get out of the house, too?
Well,
get out of the house and get a job, son.
I'll tell you what, I haven't been around enough for them to want me to get out of the house.
Now, 8 weeks down in Florida, man, and they thought you were down here under a palm tree, didn't they?
Yeah, like I was on a vacation or something.
Clay, take care. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yeah, regardless of what happens, Clay, we'll be in touch, I promise.
And he's one of the guys that, you know, and I find this kind of interesting that somebody would actually call this old 28 years ago from a draft, call him up and say, help these guys. And I'm like, what and can Scott Brantley help these guys? I think I've got somebody that's playing right now, and yet there's something that's going on there. And I know you're real adamant about the kind of people that they are.
Yeah.
I know that's a very important part, but the bottom line is Randy Moss can play football whether he's a good guy or not. T.O. can play football whether he's a good guy or not. You just don't want him on your team?
No, I don't want him. No, but I want Chad Johnson on my team if we can make a deal for him.
Oh, it's called Brantley and the Babe. Do we have time to take that? Can we squeeze that in? Mike, you're in Tampa. Speak to us quickly. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, talk to me, hon.
Hey, I was just calling to say good luck to that kid. I hope it works out for him this weekend. Yeah. And, remember, a certain other guy by the name of Tony Romo was undrafted, and he did pretty well.
Yes.
And
Wes Walker, who I mentioned, this kid reminds me of him because of his quickness and his return ability, you know, both kickoff and punt. I mean, the guy intercepted pass, intercepted for touchdown. I know he played on a lower division, but those kids got as much
chance as anybody. Can you imagine what we're going to have to put up with that the kid gets drafted and I got to sit with Brantley?
And I didn't even work with the defensive backs. I just fell in love with working with Curtis Lofton and Chris McCullough.
And Curtis Lofton is number one draft choice. Can we please talk to him? You're over there.
Like,
we're going to hopefully talk to him. Mike, I thank you. We have to run. I thank you for that. It's Brantley and the Babe on ESPN 1470. Hit the phone lines. We're talking a bit about the draft. That was good. Clay was good.
Yeah,
I'm glad
that
we got the opportunity because here is like not the guy. And Lofton's a totally different thing. He knows he's going in the first round. Clay's like hoping that he gets picked, but he may or may not. And especially, like you said, his one big opportunity. He got a hamstring that was his problem in that. I am the Babe. He is Brantley. 849-1470, 578-1470. It's ESPN 1470 from the Culpeper Curlin Studios.
Find
it.
It's Brantley and the Babe, only on Tampa Bay's ESPN 1470.
Are we on the radio? I think so. Brantley and the Babe, ESPN 1470. Phone lines are right here. Galaxy line 877, toll free, 777-9426, live from the Culpeper Curlin Studios. It's 849 in Hillsboro. 1470, and in Pinellas, toll-free at 578-1470. What do we think about the draft? You know, things are going. Jake Long, as you just heard, $57 million for an offensive lineman. That's a deal. And you know what? They want to make him a left tackle, but he really is a right tackle, and it seems like that's really his he would be better. I mean, if you had a left-handed quarterback, he'd be perfect for that, but they're probably going to move him over because they always like to protect him from the left side. Let's grab some phone lines over here. I'm going to Tampa. Gator Joe, you're on the radio with Scott and the Babe.
Well, hello there. How are you guys today?
Hi, honey. What's on your mind?
I was just going to talk to Scotty a little bit about the D-Rays.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well. I'm waiting for Raul to come over to the house, and we're going to be heading over there to Orlando tonight.
Oh, are you?
You're serious, huh? Cool. You're serious. You're going to see him in Orlando.
Now, did you do this little trip last year when they played Texas?
You better believe it. We got the same thing going tonight.
I got you. You did. Now it's called the Disney Champion Stadium. They changed the name like every other year?
Yeah, we get a different sponsorship every year, I think.
Shields is going tonight. What about them going against a Toronto team that's coming off that loss, too? They weren't very happy from yesterday. That was stupid to even play.
No, they're not real happy. And then had issues with Frank Thomas as well. They have the team a little discombobulated there.
And is there a problem with Toronto? We saw that thing that happened last year. Was it Shea Hillebrand that got into it with them? And the thing with Thomas, although Rishardi did say, you know, he handled it very professionally, but then he left and he ripped them, Frank Thomas. It seems like people are really ripping them. Why, you know, obviously, go ahead, though. Joe, go ahead. What's on your mind about that?
I'm just wanted to let Scotty know maybe next year you can take the day off and come with us.
No.
That ain't going to happen. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't going to happen.
You know, I'll tell you what we should have done. We should have planned it where we go over there to the for the restaurant right outside the stadium, and I've done shows from over there. I'm sure the Babe has too. So maybe that's something we look forward to next year.
That's right. Make me drive to a restaurant in Orlando to sit there and look at you for 3 hours. Joe, you're going to have to hang up the phone now and never call again if you've got ideas like this, all right?
Hey, a quick note on that Chad Johnson thing.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys remember, though, after he signed that huge contract with Cincinnati, he came out and said he's going to be a Bengal for life since the organization took care of him. So I'm sort of on Scotty's side there thinking, you know, if he doesn't want to be there, you can get a first rounder and a third rounder or two possible first rounders. I'd do it.
Well, it's interesting because I'll tell you what, if it really was two first rounders, you can't exactly, especially Washington, it's not like they're going to be picking in the bottom three, you know. Yeah. So you know it's going to be a fairly decent draft choice. And when I saw it could have been two number ones, I might have to even flinch on that one, even though I don't like him and I really wouldn't want him on my team. Joe, I thank you for that call.
That opens up
a Hillsboro line at 849-1470. You know, I know you were saying a one and a three and all that, but if it really is going to be two ones, that's kind of hard. But they obviously didn't have a problem, or they did have a problem with it because they said no. So the question is, did Washington really say that, or is that just the rumor that's floating around?
Mumbo jumbo. Or, you know, I mean, yeah, it looks good on paper. Give me your first, trade him straight up for the first round pick. And if he does, what would they expect him to, if they end up in the playoffs, the Redskins? I mean, they were in the playoffs last year. I mean, this is a team that's on the verge. They're picking 21st. I mean, this is a pretty good team. You should have a pretty good idea of what you have. The Bucs have a pretty good idea of what they have, wouldn't you think, of what they can do?
Yes.
And can they repeat what they did last year? Sure, they better repeat, but nobody's done that. We've talked about that in the division. So somebody needs to make a statement, and I don't know.
What do you think about the, I don't even want to say rumor, it was reported today that the Bucks are trying to trade up to the Ravens, which is the number 8 pick. And the only thing I can think of is, do they really think one of those wide receivers is so much better, or are they looking for Matt Ryan? Of course, I don't know, because there's been reports today that people are talking to the Falcons with the number 3 pick. I would think they want the quarterback if that's why they're looking to go that high.
You would think. You would really think. But I don't know. What's McFadden going to do with all this stuff? And how's this going to affect his status? Will he be the guy
that's going to go in the first
formal
5 or 6? Don't
really?
You? I mean, he's not going to drop down that far.
I think
the
Jets at 6 should be the...
The Jets have met with Ryan 3 times. My understanding is that they have already met with him at least 3 times.
Yeah, up in the New England area. I know New York's... I mean, it's not that far off. I mean, it makes sense.
Well, if you're, you know, one of the two quarterbacks over there with the Jets, you better start looking around. I guess.
Yes, that's true. I don't know. Who knows? Nobody, they don't, I mean, they're just throwing stuff out here.
In one of your many vacation days in the first week that we've been together, I talked with Joe Theismann, and I said to him, is it me or is it just not very, he said, it's not a very good draft to begin with. I said, why is it that we're talking about one guy, one quarterback, you never see that only in the first round, and the next one's probably in the top of the second
Brandbaum
round, and then the other one's up there, but it's not a very much of a And that's unusual because usually, you know, we're talking big time about quarterbacks, but there doesn't seem to be, and not that are that highly rated. Obviously, if there's only one that we're talking about in the first round, and that probably is a guy who can go anywhere from third to 10, probably.
And Chad Hitting, I mean, is he number two? Is Brian Braum number two? Or is Joe Flacco, who you mentioned?
Flacco,
he's made a lot of noise, and I'd like to see him squeeze into that. You know what? I'd love to see a guy like that be picked. You know, late, like by Green Bay. Yeah, but they've got so much invested in Rodgers.
Yeah, they're not going to, why get somebody to even have any? And, you know, I don't want to say anything, but do you think he's doing something over here looking, or is he going to look for another experienced quarterback? I'm talking about Gruden, of course, because
Jake Plummer's coming out of the woods, man.
The Unabomber. He looks like the Unabomber. God help me from Jake Plummer. You know, what are they going to, I mean, there's no reason for that. He's not doing anything.
Why'd they still hold his rights, or do they, or are they still
never
paying?
Officially
is
paid.
He having to pay back the money, or
he never officially put the papers in, though, right?
No.
Isn't that right? I don't
for
think
his retirement.
He, I don't think he ever really put the officially put the papers
did Brett
in.
Favre put his papers in yet? It'd be interesting to find out if he filled that paperwork out.
You know, let's talk about that just for a minute. You know, they keep thinking about coming back. Stop. You've done it. It was the longest announcement in history. We all love him. He's terrific. Hall of Fame. I was glad that I got to live and actually cover, you know, on the field in the era of Brett Favre, and that's fine. But if that retirement announcement coming had gone two more days, people were going to turn on him like a mad dog.
Right.
You know how fans are? It was like, oh, all right, I'm, you know, but stop already. I don't want to hear two more days of is he gonna, you know, and I don't want to hear is he coming back. Stop.
He should have made the announcement after the game that they lost for the championship that he was coming back. Because this is one of the youngest teams in the National Football League. You're not hurt. You don't have any ill. Yeah, you're just depressed because you lost the game, but you get over that in a heartbeat. Your arm's not weary. Your legs will come back in a month. He should have never announced his retirement, in my opinion.
But if he felt that it was over and he just didn't want to do it again,
then that's his prerogative. I mean, he's got that right, but.
But I mean, obviously he didn't want to play. I mean, and you know, we've heard about it for a while, so I think that it was good probably that, and like you said, I don't think can you do that after you lose a championship game like that? Can you just say right then and there, I'm retiring? And people would say, oh, that's too emotional. And he sat out for a while and he thought about it, and he gave them the opportunity to say, no, I'm not going to be, Roger's going to be your guy. And if you're not comfortable with him, do something about it. I think that was better.
There was no right way. There was no wrong way. If he felt like he wanted to retire and his family was all in agreement and he's going to live happily the rest of his life on his John Deere tractor down in Mississippi, go ahead. Have fun.
But do you have a deal with John Deere? Where did that come from?
He has a deal with. You didn't watch it during the whole playoffs.
Well, yes, I guess that's true. Now that you do, I will have to give you that.
Brett Favre is John Deere.
Okay, I'll have to remember that. And what was the other thing that I used to see him do too? There was some other thing besides the John Deere thing. I've drawn a blank. I feel like football has been like, it seems like ancient history. It seems like such a long time ago that the Giants won and that Eli was so good. I don't know why.
And you see where he got married.
Is that
yesterday.
All right? Is that all right?
That's
yeah,
fine.
He got married last weekend, went to Mexico,
and
that's
blonde.
Fine. He would do that. Jared Mayo, if you're just joining us, Tennessee linebacker, doing his interviews, and they said to him, when's the last time you cheated on your girlfriend? Do they have the right to do that? Is that really out of bounds? And he said, did they say, have you ever? They said, when's the last time? And he said, I don't cheat on my girlfriend. Well, more importantly, suppose they go, well, as a matter of fact, we have this picture of you. See, we got this. I thought, oh, my God, is anything not off limits? Maybe not. It's not off limits at all, but I would be pissed. Wouldn't
too.
You just be furious about that? Say, what are you? Get out. What are you talking about? Get out.
I'd make sure I didn't want to be picked by that team if they asked me that kind of a question. Because that's a principal type thing. But you're going to answer. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. I mean, there's some guys that look at themselves, they got two or three girlfriends.
Yeah, which one would have been a great answer, right? Which one?
Which
been a better one? But it just seemed like it was. We've gotten to that point now. I mean, was that out of line, or is it just we live in this era And if you're spending this much money, and which everyone says, and you want to do as well as you possibly can, especially a guy like this who is considered a first-round draft choice, maybe the second best, first or second best in the country coming out as a linebacker, do they have the right to do that? Is it stepping over the boundaries? I think it's a bit over the boundary, if you want to know the truth. But maybe, you know, if you're running the scouting for an NFL team, you're going, nothing is out of bounds anymore. I give you Maurice Claret. I mean, like, nothing. I mean, I give you any of those kind of things. Nothing is out. And did you see the thing today that Pac-Man paid $15,000 in extortion money to some guy who said, you got to pay this money or I'm coming after you or I'm going to get you? I mean, what does get you mean? Doesn't this guy have guns a go-go and people around him with guns? What does get you mean?
I don't know. Why would taking a rap? Is he taking the rap for Pac-Man Jones? Does he know something that maybe the law enforcement people have not gathered yet? I'm sure there is a lot of sketchy gray area with that whole.
It'll be interesting to see if the NFL lets him come back, if they hold him to being suspended, and what it, you know, we assume there's all this evidence or whatever it is, but I don't know what's really there. You know, I haven't really seen it. And his whole thing about wanting to go to, you know, saying, okay, let me out of this. I'm going to the Cowboys. Ain't it grand? I'm thinking, once again, I think as people who go to work every damn day and would give anything to play in a football game, think, how come you can get in all this trouble? And then you can say, listen, I hate you, Tennessee, and I'm going over to Dallas anyway because it's a better deal for me all the way around. You know, I think the average fan who, after that guy called me and told me it cost him $335 to go to the football game for two tickets and a parking pass in his club seat, and I was like, I guess I have to get a grip on it. You know, somebody, I don't know if it was one of your many days off that you had in the first week. Somebody called and said that he has been a season ticket holder with the Rays since the very beginning. He has a 30-game, 33-game package. Mm-hmm. They wrote to him this year and said, you have to buy 50 games or you can't have your seats anymore. And he gave up his seats. I said, first of all, you should have called me because we could have brokered a deal with somebody and you could have kept the seats in your name. I would have figured that out for you. But what do you think about that? I mean, you can do that when you're the Red Sox. You can even do that when you're the Tigers. What is the matter with these people? Well, then now they're not getting any money for that guy. And they've aggravated a guy who actually, with their sorry-ass team that has been since the beginning, was actually plunking down money for them.
And that's what, I mean, I don't know. Because you can't look, you gotta have foresight of what you expect and what you hope will come. And with a new ownership group that's been in place for 3 years, I think that's legitimately, you can probably play that card a little bit.
And you know, they scored the daylights out of it. Nobody wants to pay for parking now either, you know.
No, why go back?
Now they went back into the bargain. They said, well, no, we don't want to do that. I am the fabulous sports babe. He's got Brantley. They call it Brantley and the Babe on ESPN 1470. We're cruising through Tuesday. I'm just getting ready for the deadliest catch. 9 o'clock tonight on Discovery. It is my most favorite. I don't know why. It's a cult thing. I have no answer for you as to why I am completely crazy for this show.